Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Robert Maxim, but before I bring him on, I need to remind you that you can always get new regular episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. You're definitely going to want to check us out on Rockfin. That's where you get all our awesome premium content. You can get also our regular shows and all the premium content from every creator on Rockfin. Please check out our merch store. You can get cool stuff like shirts, stickers, bags. That link is in the description or fknstore.net. And finally, if you guys are reaching the stage of life like me where you're getting a few gray hairs, you're going to want to check out C60 Purple Power. It may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man. It's helped me with so much inflammation, energy, sleep, well-being. You can even get C60 for your pets, so your pets can feel great too. Check out the link in the description. You can get 10% off your order plus free shipping. Tonight, I want to welcome to the show Robert Maxim. He has gathered an immense library of knowledge on history, creation, evolution, the purpose and methodology for life, the workings of the interdimensional soul, science and medicine from incredibly wise extraterrestrial beings, backed by evidence through conscious contact modalities. He has provided healings to many individuals by visualizing the past lives, incurring the ailment, and received cures for a number of physical conditions, which he has published for free access by all. In 2014, he published a novel series titled Legacy, where he detailed his encounters with non-earthly intelligence, their way of life, knowledge, and his own past life experiences. Robert, welcome. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. Thank you for having me on the program.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Like I was telling you, when you first connected, it was really great meeting you at the Laughlin Conference. Your presentations were amazing. You presented information about not only the government secret space programs, details about it, but your astral travels through both physical and spiritual dimensions and past lives and experiences in Atlantis and Lemuria. So very fascinating stuff. I really would like to start with how and when this information came to you and all of this started for you.
Well, it dates back to when I was about 18 years old. I had already had several contacts, both physical and astral, with other beings. I have to differentiate that you have to know who you deal with. You have to understand who is giving you what information. So you have to put them to the test. So there is what's known as, and everybody uses the buzzword, the Federation. And there's also the Brotherhood. There's a difference between the two. The Federation are pretty much physically minded beings. The Brotherhood are more spiritually minded beings. Some are physical, some are spiritual, celestial. So the majority of creation is Brotherhood. The Federation is the minimal part. I'll get to how I figure that out. So when I was five, I had my first contact. Physical. I'm originally from Cuba, came to the States in 69. When I was 15, I had my first major astral travel after a major physical event. And physical event means a lot of sightings. There were dozens, if not hundreds, of ships flying outside of my house, as close as about a block away. I could see them from the window. I went to see them. Make the story shorter, I had an astral flight that night. Go to visit Venus, return. When I returned, the beings that I had a contact with was right there by my bed physically. And I had a contact physically there with them. The astral travels increased. The physical contacts increased. I had contacts with folks from Venus, from Saturn, from Mars, and then from other worlds. Total of about 11 different contacts. Astral flights, I stopped counting. Tens of thousands. When I was 11, that's when I had my first view of a past life. And I wasn't even looking for it. I had no interest in past lives or much background. It just happened. I was shown that, and everything just took off from there. Those were the beginnings of it all.
Okay, now I want to break down a little bit of that. First of all, the beings that you first encountered, what did they look like? Were they humanoid?
Yeah, humanoid, just like you and me. As a matter of fact, I would say Saturnians were over 6.5 feet tall. Huge. Nordic style. Venusians were shorter, but my size. 5'5", 5'6", blonde. Very long fingers. Martians. Just like you and me, but the height, black hair, very youthful looking. In high school, actually, when I was 17, I met one, went to my school, and kind of slapped my hands a little bit and told me I was not supposed to be saying certain things, not yet. So that's basically what they look like. And every now and then I see a few. I just have to keep my mouth shut and keep going. I can't say, there's an alien right there. Look, you know, that would be bad. So I just have to be very tactful. It's like not even wave high. I can't point them out.
Right. Okay. I want to get into that in a second. Now, these beings did they identify as part of the Brotherhood to you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, did they also identify the purpose they were visiting you or give you any other information?
It was so much that I was told how to behave, what to do, what I was here for, what I would be doing, information on science, past, the works. So since I was 15, it's been download after download after download. It just doesn't stop. So it's a waterfall and never stops coming in. And that was the purpose that they identified. What for? Basically for my own growth, should we say, in development. But in doing so, I have to show others how to live. And while I don't go out and publicize this information, I wait for others, people in general, to come to me with questions, and then I will answer them. And that was a key instruction I was given. I'm not to preach, set myself up as an ambassador or a teacher or a leader or even a contactee. I'm just me living, practicing life the way it should be, as best as I can, and sharing when I am asked. That's the rule I'm under.
Did they give you any information about contact modalities when it comes to who they're contacting on this planet? Do you think that everybody on this planet has a form of contact, or are they choosing certain people to interact with? I'm wondering if everyone may have contact and just has their memory wiped or just doesn't forget about it, or it's just certain people with certain bloodlines or DNA. What do you think?
This is going to sound shocking. Everyone has contact. Now, why? The reason is that above this dimension, there is more to what we are. We're infinite beings. There is a, shall we say, an elevated level of intelligence that is part of our soul that guides us. We can call that the higher self. That higher self is one of the members of this brotherhood. Everybody's got one. Everybody's got a higher self. Each higher self is a member of the brotherhood. Therefore, we're in constant contact. That is, if we learn to listen to it instead of our ego. Now, many of us don't want to deal with that. They want to see a physical ship. Give me a ship, get me on board. That's all I want. It's not about that. It's like saying, well, you know, let's say you drive a BMW. Okay, well, I want you to drive to my house, put the BMW out there and let me drive it so that I can believe and I can share with you that you have a BMW. That's what we're asking for. And what does the BMW have to do with my life and what I'm going to gain out of it? You see, we're not here to be bothering these beings, to see them, to get in their ships, to do any of that. The first course of action is to learn from our higher self and bring us to the point that then we will have other contacts, physical contacts. Well, your listeners are going to say, well, you didn't start that way. You started with astral travel, with physical contacts. What gives? Well, here's why. When I was 13, I asked for it. And I asked for it with everything I had. I prayed about it day and night for 2 long years. I slept myself that way, just begging to know God. Well, the answer finally came. These beings are God-loving. They respect creation. They respect celestial guidance, their higher self. They live for the higher self and to let the higher self train and guide us, educate us. So you have all of these beings that are out there in the cosmos. Some are physically minded, as I mentioned, like the Federation. They don't have any of the spiritual knowledge in mind. That's not what they want. They want planets. And they're going to show themselves, right? They're going to bring their ships down, and they're going to publicize themselves, promote themselves, so that they can be seen. There is a sinister reason why. Number one, they're already here. Number two, we made a deal with them. Number three, the end result is not going to be very pretty, because no such thing as a free lunch. We got to keep that in mind. The Brotherhood doesn't work that way. The Brotherhood is seek spirit first, then we come to you. And when they come to you, trust me, they come with everything they've got. I've seen ships. I've been in contact with ships, with their beings. But it starts with that. You have to ask for it, and you have to live it. And with everything you've got. Jesus gave us a quote, and it said, 2 commandments. One, love yourself as you would love your neighbor. And the second is love God with all your heart, mind, will, and soul. Everything you got. If you can't do that, you're not going up. You become a chess piece for the Federation. Now, I've had contact with the Federation. It didn't go very well. Yeah, right. They came, they busted into my mind, and the first thing they did is they gave me a name. As soon as I heard the name, I knew, and these are the bad guys, because the Brotherhood never gives a name. They call themselves brother, sister, period. Well, this being gave me a name. And to me, it was instant disgust. And I think I spent 3 or 4 minutes mentally just slapping the heck out of this being for everything that they do. All of the wrong teachings that they give us, all of the attention getting that they do, the wrongful concepts that are being given through channeling to individuals. They're confusing everybody. So yeah. I know I went to quite a bit of information there.
Right. And I want to explore this because this is really a big thing, especially for this community and a lot of people who listen to this show. are believers that the Galactic Federation are benevolent beings on our side, on humanity's side, here to, you know, save us and help us along, whatever, you know, whatever you hear from certain contactees and people who have supposedly made contact with this Federation, and people who just want to get notoriety or attention. I think this is, because this side I've never heard before you talked about. I heard you talk about it at the conference, and then we did an interview after, and we talked a little bit about it, and it was very fascinating and a very different take than most people are used to. So I want to kind of break it down a little bit and get a better idea of who the Federation is as opposed to the Brotherhood. Now, are these both a community of different species of extraterrestrials, the Brotherhood and the Federation?
They are racially pretty much the same. Some are humanoid, some are not. Some are reptilian class, others are insectoids. It's all sorts of different,
all different kinds for each one.
You bet. And the Federation and the Brotherhood, they're made up of the same. And I know that people like to they hold prejudice against reptilians, and I can tell you at least the ones I've met are not, I repeat, they are not negative. I would ask whomever is saying that to offer evidence. Where's the evidence? Where's the proof? I can show you proof that they have been in Peru, that they helped build the Incas up to protect them. There are reptilian beings living underground. I can't say where they are, but there's plenty of videos, and I can produce the evidence of the videos. They're benign. So people, we cannot accept information if there is no evidence behind it. And most of what has been brought forward for the Federation, there's absolutely zero evidence for it. Every now and then I will hear a supposed message brought through. Where's the evidence? They'll say there is a ship out there somewhere. Where's the evidence? This whole thing started in 1952, and I have this documented on my website, with George Van Tassel. He was the first to channel the Federation. From there, it grew legs. He channeled Ashtar, and I can prove to you that twice in 1952, between July and September of 1952, Ashtar threatened the planet. And he said something like, we're going to be operating in your planet. You know, don't mess with us. If you interfere, we can respond. Does that sound positive to you?
No, not at all.
Well, it's written. That was Ashtar. Now, what happened 3 months later? With the beginning of the Federation infiltrating into George Van Tassel, here comes the Brotherhood, and they start working with George Adamski. Van Tassel never had an ounce of evidence, nothing. Here comes Adamski. He takes a picture of the pilot. I showed that in the conference. Pictures of their ships inside and out, and tons of information. I can say that one of those brothers he met, I have met. And I have witnesses. And I have evidence. Now, what happens in 1954? We have Eisenhower. He's given a choice. We're going to give you technology, and you don't have to worry about getting rid of your nukes. Matter of fact, you know, we might even use a couple. Here, and that's one group. The other group says, you have to get rid of your nukes, and we want to come and show you how to live. Spiritual teachings. Guess what Eisenhower chose?
Well, of course, it's not the spiritual teachings.
And now here we are. That was called Gedara. Do we have evidence of that? Yes, we do. And the evidence is with President Kennedy. George Adamski and Kennedy spoke. Kennedy was to have a meeting with the brothers. He did. And the story says that, no, he went to Palm Springs to have his tooth looked at. In Palm Springs? Hello. George Adamski received a note from Kennedy that he had the meeting. Case closed. The difference between the Brotherhood and the Federation proven right there. Now, from there all the way to modern days, there have been so many people dressing up what Van Tassel did. It's not even funny. Everybody wanted to channel Ashtar. Everybody wanted to channel the Federation. And it just got out of hand. Any evidence? Zero. Any pictures? Well, go out there and take a photograph. Those ships flying out there is probably Federation. Why? Because when Gadara was signed, the Brotherhood was said, bye-bye. You got to go. Federation is in. You leave. And what happened in 1954? George Adamski's contacts came to him, said goodbye, and they left.
Now, I have a couple of questions about that. First of all, was there human interaction with the Federation before the 40s and 50s, whenever we started showing nuclear power and stuff like that? And what is their ultimate interest in our human race?
They have been here many times. I am not going to dismiss the Nazi case, the Honeybu projects. I'm not going to dismiss them. And they were here. They've been trying to infiltrate and get us technology. Now, why? Why would you give somebody technology? Now, given the technology they're giving us is very basic, just in case, a little bit of insurance that if we decide to act against them, they have the overwhelming power. And that they do. The case in our dealing with the Federation today is that they're beginning to find out that we were duped. We got technology, but it's very hard to produce, very hard to manage. It works, but boy, it's not the best stuff out there. Do we have interstellar flight capabilities? Yes, we do. Do we have bases on the moon? No, we don't. Why? The moon is Brotherhood territory. We're not allowed there. Some say, oh, there's bases on Mars. No, we don't. Mars is Brotherhood. And they have very clearly stated, they will not allow any of us to go to their worlds in large numbers because of what we are. And you saw in the videos what we did 127,000 years ago. We did it then. We're going to do it again. And this is why the Federation wants us. We're nice little soldiers. We take stuff for granted. We listen to information and we don't prove it. We accept it.
Right.
And we round up and we go killing people, hurting people. We call it defending our rights. And what they're afraid of is we're going to get on these ships, we're going to put guns on them, and we're going to go on a shooting spree. That's why they don't want us.
And since you mentioned a little bit about the history of us, basically destroying ourselves, let's talk about that a bit. First of all, how did you come across this information? Was it just a past life memory?
It started that way.
Okay. Could you talk about how that came to be?
I was 18, knew basically nothing about past lives or reincarnation. I was reading a book, and all of a sudden, I just passed out. It never happened to me before. What followed was almost like a motion picture of that life. In just a few seconds, I lived a long period of that life. I saw the battle. I saw what happened, saw what I did. And that's why I wrote Legacy. Legacy is a novel based on what I saw. That was when I was 18. 6 years ago, I found the evidence. Many people saw the video. They heard the story. They remember. They had dreams about it. I have dozens of people that will confirm that. But I did not have physical evidence. Well, I finally got the evidence. And I'm putting together a video that will show it very simply. What it is that a scientist in the University of Tennessee discovered information that was gathered by satellites going around Mars. He discovered that the ground was saturated with radioactive xenon, potassium, and krypton. I wish I had the picture available here, but you can see the two hot spots over Mare Acidalium. You know, that's pretty much where the Martian face is. These are huge, huge hotbeds of explosive material. And how do we know it was a bomb? Because from the hotspot, we can actually now know how the Martian atmosphere worked back in that time, because we can see the trail of radiation, how the air currents took it. So we now know where the equator was. We know where the poles were. We know how the Martian weather worked, because we can see that radiation clouds going through the planet. You take all that radiation, you calculate back how much atomic material was dropped.
Now, for the audience, a little background, this is a human civilization that used to exist on Mars, right?
That is correct.
And we basically destroyed ourselves with some highly advanced nuclear weapon.
We blew it up. And I say we, Earth.
I see.
We had the technology. The Martians, myself, I'm responsible. I apologize to everyone. I was the one that gave Earth the UFO technology.
And who were you? Tell us a little about what you learned about yourself from your past life.
That was my world. Mars was my world. I was sent here as a scientist, as a teacher. I saw what people were like, exactly what we're seeing now. The same type of population, the same type of greed. And, of course, that desire to go colonize worlds. I could have made the difference. I could have made the call and said, we're not giving you this. But because of my pride, my ego, I said, I'm doing it. And I did. Those same ships were the ones that destroyed my world. How much atomic material did we drop? The equivalent of 50,000 Nagasaki bombs. 50,000 on a planet half our size. So, and we can see it. We can see it on the surface today. It's unquestionable. That proved exactly what I saw when I was 18.
And this was with the Federation being involved with this as well, whenever we destroyed ourselves, basically?
No, they were not.
They were not, okay.
They were not involved. However, one thing we have to understand is the Federation is old. Federation is not a new thing. Federation has been around for, say, about 1 million years. Now, I have to give some shocking information here. Why in Lemuria, that's when this happened, why were we the way we were? Very simple. We were brought here because we were trouble. Long before Lemuria. Why were we trouble? Because we are in part creators of the Federation. Now you understand why they're here. We keep reincarnating and reincarnating, and we just don't get it. We don't get the point. Well, there's a little bit of history, so you know who you are and why you're here. And this world is nothing more than a glorified prison school to see if we finally get it and we stop hurting each other, for God's sakes. That's why the Federation is here, because they feel right at home with the type of people we are, because what they are is what we are.
That makes a lot of sense. Now let's go to our origins physically on this planet. You know, we have the Anunnaki origin story, where we were genetically modified by some of these beings to be slaves for gold. And I never really resonated with that. I do believe that there was a hand in our advancement. I'd like to get your take on how did we come about? Are we just from a different planet? What are your thoughts?
First, I have to dismantle what isn't. And for a long time, people have believed the Anunnaki story. Let me tell you this. Anunnaki means son of sky and earth. Anunnaki are the seven judges of hell. It's Anunnaki. Now, who is Anun? It's a borrowed term from the Egyptians. Amun and Anubis. Who was Anubis? Wasn't he the guard of hell? The Sumerians borrowed it, and they made Anunnaki. That's where that comes from. Now, here comes Zechariah Sitchin. He is from Uzbekistan, I think it is, and he was an economist. But all of a sudden, he feels qualified to grab Sumerian writings that only two people on the whole planet could translate, and he tries to translate it. What gave him the right? Well, he did. And he published the Anunnaki story. And here you have these highly advanced alien beings. They come to this planet. They create people. They go through the trouble of creating people. So they go to the mountains with axes and picks and shovels. And they start, axing away rocks. They put them in little baskets behind their back. And here they go walking towards the ship. They dump the basket in the ship. They go back for some more. And here goes the ship to process gold. Wow. What kind of mentality will buy that? First of all, gold has absolutely zero value in these civilizations. Number two, if these beings wanted to mine gold, they could take a field and slice a mountain the size of Everest and haul it away to their planet. That easy. They don't need to be creating people and cutting stuff up. And besides, they make their own atoms out of energy. They don't mine rocks. Why come here 49, 50, 100 light years away to get rocks when they have tons of asteroids in their own solar system that they could mine? From an astronomical point of view, I can tell you that there's more gold in asteroids than there is on this planet. It's just the nature of space. But no, here we go. We have to believe this ancient story. And to top it off, he brings in Nibiru. Then Nancy Leader comes over and jumps on Nibiru. And both Nancy and Sitchin start making all kinds of prophecies that fall on their face. And Nancy is still going on with her false prophecies. And
man, I haven't heard of
her.
Nancy in a while. Oh, that's bringing back some memories.
it's crazy. And again, zero evidence. Zero.
Right.
How can people believe in stuff without any evidence, without doing the research? Don't take milk from stranger, folks. Do the research. Ask the questions.
Definitely.
Put people to the heat. Let's see if they can handle the heat.
So let's correct Stitchin's work. What is our origin as Homo sapiens sapiens? Where is this version of humanity from originally?
Well, there were humanoids on this planet. They didn't look very nice. Some had hands for feet, all kinds of stuff. But they were evolving, they were changing. There came a time where some of these beings mysteriously vanished. Others mysteriously appeared out of nothing. And there were beings from other worlds coming over to this world to colonize it. Shambhala was here 400,000 years ago. It came from the Brotherhood. Guess what the humanoids and the hominids that were here did? They turned their backs on them. Is that unholy spirit, the Federation spirit they had? They didn't want Shambhala. They had to leave. Other colonizers came. Some of them got killed. Some of them got mixed with these hominids. So what happened in the end? Look at the YMRCA gene. YMRCA 260,000 years ago. All of a sudden, man is born. Out of what? It's in the mitochondria. You start peeling back generations out of the mitochondria, you find out where your Adam was and your Eve was, about 260,000. Okay? So, yep, there was a mixing between alien human and Earth humanoid. That's where the gene was born. Then there were other aliens that came, took those humans, adaptations to the DNA. Yeah, there were changes made. More aliens coming in, more mixing going on, Martians coming here, getting mixed. Lemuria is destroyed. There's only 10,000 people left on the planet. That's in our genes, indisputable. The great bottleneck, look it up. That happened about 75,000 BC. Here comes humanity growing again. You have you in Mongolia, about 65,000. They destroy themselves, just like Lemuria. Humans survive. Now they go to Atlantis and start growing up in Atlantis. More aliens come, more mixing, more DNA fix-up. Atlantis goes poof. And here we go. Now we're back living in caves and whatever else, eating meat and destroying our DNA. And that's where we are today. So that's our roots. Our root is so mixed up. It's so changed and altered and radiated and corrupted by meat and solar radiation. The very thing we need to live a long time is missing from our bodies. Number one, glutathione against free radicals. Number two, glutamate process to repair telomeres and get rid of free radicals and ignite the glutathione process broken in the DNA. That came from our malpractice of living, dieting, and what we have in the mind. And I was very clearly told by the Brotherhood, every problem that you have both physically and mentally is from this, the mind. They showed me how it works. The physical body is a projection of the consciousness from a higher interdimension. That's how the DNA appears. The DNA does not hold past life information. Neither does the brain. It's all in the consciousness. But between consciousness and this physical replica, guess what gets in the way? Your ego. And that ego is what causes traumas and problems in your physical body. You want to heal yourself? Oh, yeah, you have to eat right, vegetarianism and all the stuff. You have to be clean with your body, exercise, breathe properly. But you also have to make up what you're missing for your glutathione and glutamate processes. And you have to know your past lives. You have to cure the ego. You have to love what you are. You have to educated. That's why you're here. And I've had so many healings, and a lot of the healings that I've given, people just overcome it like that with a past life reading or a past life analysis. It works. The proof is there. But I've got to warn about past life readings. Not everybody is a past life reader. Second, past life reading should be free of charge. Number three, don't get a past life reading from anybody that offers it. There's a protocol. The protocol is you are your own master. Don't trust anybody else with a past life reading. And if somebody, like if I were to tell you a past life reading, I would go through a huge process to make sure you're ready, make sure you will accept it, make sure you're going to work with it, and make sure you're not going to corrupt it.
Right.
And then I have to check with the Brotherhood to see, can I do this? There's a process. Anything else, you're making a hell of a lot of karma for you. If you attempt to read people's lives, you have no idea the mess you're getting into. I wouldn't do it. If you honestly are not a representative of the Brotherhood, do not attempt reading past lives. Don't do it.
Man, this is so interesting. There's so many directions that we could go. I'm definitely going to have you back on soon. I do want to talk a little bit more about the Brotherhood and the types of beings that there are. You know, you said that they're, you know, just a whole different type of mix of extraterrestrials. Would there be what people consider angels in this group as well, or is this a whole different class of entities?
Angel means messenger. That means that if you bring me a message, you are an angel. Angels can be aliens. Angels can be your neighbor. But the angels that we believe in as ethereal beings, they exist, but they're not what we think they are. They are extremely wise evolutionary beings. Yes, they're members of the Brotherhood. They are avatars, masters, teachers, highly advanced. And one little secret for everyone: your higher self, being a celestial being, is an angel.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that's very interesting. Now, when it comes to, if you saying that you, when you originally wanted this, when you were 18 years old or 15, and you were originally exploring this, you said you wanted to know God and you wanted to know the answers. I find that to be interesting because I had a similar experience when I wanted answers. I wanted to know what was out there, and I had my first experience. I know a few other people who have had this, and it had to do a lot with me losing the fear of it, not being afraid of it, not being afraid because I was subjected to, you know, Catholicism growing up and just the dogma surrounding that, and that instilled major fear into exploring some of these things. But once I lost that, I was able to have a really beautiful experience. And would you say that's pretty accurate if you are seeking one of these experiences? And at the same time, I know we don't have much time left. I want to know a little bit about what you said in the beginning. Know who you're dealing with whenever you're trying to contact these beings.
Yes, definitely. Once you experience the Brotherhood, you never want to go anywhere else. The peace, the wisdom, the love that you feel. It's no way to describe it. It's out of this world, literally out of this world. The world beneath you just vanishes. You want no part of it. I mean, you lose taste for parties. You lose taste for TV. You lose taste for anything that is not core, spiritual, evolutionary, progressive, positive. It's gone. You become a new being. You get washed. All that mundanity that you've been growing up with, it's in your soul. It's gone. It's gone. You have new energy. You have power to go forward and to get your answers, and you feel confident. Your conviction is unstoppable. Your force is, it's like you have a million angels in you. That's what it feels like. And there's nothing that can stop you. And you have all the answers that you want. But you know who you are. And that is the pain. Oh, is there pain? When you start seeing what you are, who you are, you have to say yes. You have to accept it. Many tears, my friend. How do you think I've felt when I saw what I did? How do you think that went? It's been, 46 years or something like that. And when I talk about it, I still cry. And if you remember, I broke down.
Yeah.
And I almost want to do that right now. So I'm trying to control it. It hurts. But you know what? You cannot be a brother unless you're sincere, unless you see the dirt that you have in your soul and you overcome it. Don't cover it. Don't think for a minute that we're all stellar beings and that we're all positive ambassadors and representatives of these beings. No way. No way. When you start seeing yourself, so how could they have picked me? It's impossible. But the thing is that in God's creation, as long as you're moving towards Him and accepting what you are and overcoming it, you are being of help. You don't help by helping others. You help by helping yourself. And when you do that, then you clear the way for the real message and the real mission to come to you. If your ego wants to be a teacher or save the world, you're wrong. No, you have to humble yourself. You have to give a testimony of just what kind of garbage you have in your soul. If you can't testify that, you're not worthy, because you're not saying the truth. When it doesn't bother you to say what kind of dirty jam you are, you've overcome it. Now you're helping the Creator, because your change is now affecting everybody else. You're giving everybody confidence that yes, they can make it. Yes, they can overcome themselves. And now people begin to see where they came from, why they're here, why they're jailed in this world, why we keep coming back and repeating the same thing, why we get upset. Why we get upset when we hear stuff like what I've said here today? Why? I'm sure a lot of people are not very happy right now.
I'm sure they're not.
Because, yeah. Oh, but I believed the wrong thing all along. I don't have any evidence. How am I going to, I'm going to get asked, what do I do now? The veil is open. So now show up for it. If you don't have game, say so. If you have an ego that's bigger than this planet, say so. And then start again. Start from truth. Start clean. But be honest. Be sincere with people. Don't just say things because you imagine them. Make sure you can stand on your two feet and prove it.
Yeah, that saying, the truth will set you free. I mean, that's
exactly.
That's not just a clever saying. That's accurate 100,000%. But yeah, very well said. People need to definitely own their own shit before they can get on and do anything with themselves. And I know we have just a few minutes left. I want to get your take on everything that's happening right now with disclosure. Mm-hmm. We just got back from the Laughlin Conference. They had some big names when it comes to what's going on in this mainstream disclosure. I personally am not trusting any of it. I'm observing it. I find it very interesting, the timing, the information, what's coming out right now, but just observing, because I do not trust the sources that the information is coming from and who's relaying the information, the government and the mainstream media, who have been proven to be the least trustworthy entities on the planet this past couple of years. So, yeah, of course, I'm not going to trust the information. But it's interesting why it's all unfolding now and how it's unfolding and the different theories surrounding what's going on. I really would like to hear your take on what could possibly be occurring with this. It was slow drip disclosure. Now it's upped a little bit and it's kind of backed off and it's teetering, but it's still there. And I think that it's going somewhere. What do you think?
Well, that's exactly the point. Misinformation is the best way to keep you at bay. And there's a lot of paid misinformation going around. The social media, it's a perfect place to do it. I tell you, I know people who are involved in misinformation. One is a Peruvian. He's a member of NARCAP. NARCAP is the organization that is responsible for disclosure. What does NARCAP do? They take weather reports from jets, from pilots, anything that is weird up there in the sky, they take a report. Well, I tell you what, I have pilot friends. I work for an airline. You know what the checklist is for NARCAP? Well, was it a weather balloon? Was it a cloud? Was it swamp gas? What was it? You have to check one of those. UFO is not on there.
Right.
So, of course, now here comes the Pentagon giving a disclosure a couple of weeks back. We don't have good enough information. We don't have trustworthy witnesses. Why? Because the information is coming from that checklist. But if pilots had a checklist with the right buttons to push, I'll bet you the picture would be different. The checklist has been made to qualify the end result. And we're never going to get from this government, never, at least no time soon, any real answers. We have the answers. Anybody out there that has the evidence, push forward. If you don't have evidence, don't do it. Because the government is counting on you, without evidence, to make us look like fools, those that have evidence. It's hurting us. So please, back off if you don't have evidence. And you saw the presentation, all the evidence that I provided. It's not only disclosure of aliens, pictures of aliens, pictures of ships, people that live in Las Vegas, actual footage. That's evidence. Actual testimony from the person in 1961 who uncovered the secret base developing the Black Manta, the TR-3B, where it was, what it looked like, the size.
That was one of my favorite videos when you were showing the pilot that couldn't quite get his timing right whenever he was trying to do this jump, where he would kind of jump through a wormhole is the only thing I can describe it as, right?
Yeah, what you do is it's all about vibronics. You vibrate the atmosphere in such a way that you clear it. You open up a vacuum around it, and the vacuum sucks you and shoots you forward. You have cathode rays that are pushing you, pulling you in front of the ship, and also collision avoidance. So you don't hit a rock or a bird or something, and at that speed, you know, even a rock would bend your ship. So that's what you saw there. You saw this huge vacuum created where you fly right through it. It's almost like being inside of a beam.
Yeah, that was amazing. And I highly recommend if anyone wants to see this presentation, you can go to LaughlinUFOMegaConference.com, and I believe you can download the entire thing as of now, right?
You know, I've been talking to Bob Brown about that. There's the whole set is available.
Okay.
But I'm asking him, when are the individual DVDs going to be
coming out?
The
individual should be come soon, right?
Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah, be on the lookout for that. That's awesome stuff. Now, to close out tonight, you mentioned this in the beginning, that these ETs are around us at all times. They walk among us, and we wouldn't be able to tell the difference, right?
We can't. Well, let me qualify that. Yes, you can. If you are studying yourself, if you're overcoming yourself the way that I described, being honest with yourself, telling yourself what you're thinking, what you're doing, instead of just acting. Review yourself. Stop before you act. Look at your angers, your fears, your greed. Stop. Why? Why do you want to do that? Why are you so insecure? Why are you so fearful? Why do you feel you have to fight back? Everybody has the right to act the way they do. If you act angry towards me, you have the right. I have the right to do absolutely nothing and turn the other cheek, because that's going to change the attacker. If I get angry by what you do, I'm going to be angry at somebody else and at somebody else and at somebody else. The Brotherhood calls us pandementalists, mental pandemic. We're passing the bad blood from person to person to person. 8 billion of us are contaminated. You know, we got to stop. We got to start acting the way we should, turning the other cheek, giving everybody the privilege to treat us however they want, but don't fight back. It's not worth it. You win a battle against one person, you lose a battle against 8 billion in the Brotherhood, and your chances of getting out of here. It's not worth it.
Well, do you think that we have a chance this time around of not destroying ourselves?
We sure do, but you know what? It starts with you. Don't ask for peace to happen. You make the peace. You be the peace. You be the master of yourself. Be a master of life. Show people how to live. Don't react to people. Please. Live by truth. Live by evidence. Live righteously, virtuously. Be kind. Be elegant in everything that you do. But most of all, defend the truth backed by evidence. You want to change this world? That's what's going to do it. But you first have to change yourself. You have to train yourself. Don't be out there looking for ships. Be in here looking for you.
Very well said, Robert. Man, I know we only had an hour tonight, but I think it'd take a few hours minimum for people to even get just a basic understanding of some of this stuff. And we covered a lot in this 1 hour. So like I said earlier, I'd love to have you back on so we can get even deeper into this stuff, because I love your take on it. I've never heard anything like it. And I think more people need to hear it. That's what I love about having so many different types of guests like yourself on, is so people can get the different perspective, take it in, and make these decisions for themselves. And it's really fascinating information that you had. And like I said, if you want to go check out his presentation, which is very worth it, go to LaughlinUFOMegaConference.com and you can check out all the presentations there. Robert, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Like I said, we'll have to have you back on soon.
Just say when.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. And before you head out, let everyone know if they're interested in finding out more about you, getting your books, any other information, what's the best way they can do so?
My website. It's got everything. It's got a ton of free information, free courses, free videos, pictures, evidence. It's all there. It's RGAETAN.com. So that's Robert Golf Adam Echo Tango Adam November.com. Links to the books are there. I don't earn anything from the books. They're offered at cost. Again, what God gives cannot be charged. I give a conference, I can't charge. I give a conference, I have to be the one that rents the facility. I even buy people lunch. That's how it should work. Never charge for anything that you do, because what's given to you, it's given to you for free.
That's don't excellent. Abuse. Excellent, Robert. Excellent information, and I can't wait to talk to you again soon, which we'll definitely do so. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.